Bassist Marty Korb featured with Kid Ory's Creole Jazz Band on Blues for Jimmy. The rest of the group, Teddy Buckner, trumpet, Joe Darensberg, clarinet, Kid Ory himself on growling trombone, Lloyd Glenn, piano, Ed Shrivenac, guitar and minor hall drums in 1950. Well, I'll be back at 5 o'clock next Saturday with music from, among others, Stan Kenton, Kenny Baker, Toots Tielemans, guitarist Mary Halverson and the late Kathy Stobart. But now it's goodbye from me, Alan Shipton, and time here on BBC Radio 3 for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello. Today's concert set on the programme features guitar maestro John Scofield with his Uber Jam Band. Here's a taster of his guitar magic. John Scofield's Uber Jam Band, and stay tuned for that performance later on. Also on the show, Kevin Legendre is here for this month's Now's the Time feature, which shines the spotlight on a classic album of recent times. Hi, Kevin. What have you unearthed from the archives this month?
Tradition in Transition, which is a fantastic album by the saxophonist Chico Freeman, who's perhaps a little overlooked, but it's one of the great small group sessions from the 80s, and it sounds a bit like this.
Chico Freeman and more from the album Tradition in Transition later on the show. Well, I hope you enjoyed our tribute to Ray Charles on last week's edition of Jazz Lineup live from Glasgow in the company of Maceo Parker and the BBC Big Band. Our show was part of the celebrations to the lead-up of the Commonwealth Games, which are now in full swing. Well, here's another big band celebration featuring Ray Charles's music, this time in the hands of the Jazz Orchestra of the Concertgebouw, conducted by Henk Mutgert, with vocals by the wonderful Madeleine Bell. Let's hear Let the Good Times Roll.
When you're dead, you're done, but let the good times roll. Well, let the good times roll. I don't care if you're young or old, get together, let the good times roll. Don't sit there mumbling, talking trash. If you wanna have a ball, you gotta go out and spend some cash. Let the good times roll. Well, let the good times roll. I don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good times roll. Thank you. So don't let no female play him cheap. He's got $50 more that he's gonna keep. Hey, let the good time roll. Hey, let this good life roll. I don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good times roll.
Wonderful way to start the show, and the crowd seemed to be having a great time listening to that swinging rendition of Let the Good Times Roll, made famous by Ray Charles and sung there by Madeleine Bell with the jazz orchestra of the Concertgebouw. The New Yorker has called the trumpeter and composer Ambrose Akinmusiri a thrilling young trumpeter who has a unique spark in his playing. And his new Blue Note release, The Imagined Saviour, is far easier to paint. It's an impressive and expansive outing featuring his working quintet, who are Walter Smith on tenor sax, Justin Brown on the drums, Harish Raghavan on bass, Sam Harris on piano and Charles Altura on guitar. The self-produced album features a diverse range of genre-blurring compositions and takes in many styles, including modern classical, vanguard pop and spoken word. Unabashedly arty, this is his third release and it's his composer album. He's written 12 of the 13 tracks, so let's hear one of them now, called Memo.
Thank you.
Ambrose Akimuzuri on trumpet with his composition Memo, taken from his new Blue Note release. The imagined saviour is far easier to paint. Available now through the Sony Legacy label is the first album of original material in 50 years from the New Orleans collective, the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. Their new dynamic release, entitled That's It, is full of New Orleans fervour, and most of the tracks are irresistibly danceable. Preservation Hall was founded in 1961 to promote traditional New Orleans jazz in all its authenticity. Legendary players like George Lewis, Sweet Emma Barrett and Kid Thomas Valentine, all rooted in the formative years of jazz, were its original stars. Well, that generation is long gone now, yet the hall is still in business and the Preservation Hall Jazz Band continues to tour the world. This is Sugar Plum. Preservation Hall Jazz Band with Sugar Plum, and that's taken from a record that will go down in history as their first album of entirely original material, and it's called That's It, and it's out now. Andrew McCormack is a composer and world-class pianist at what seems to be the pinnacle of his career. He's born in the UK but now living in New York. He has a new trio release out on the Edition label called First Light, featuring the impressive New York rhythm section of Zach Lorber on bass and Colin Stranahan on drums. Andrew's emotional and expressive style has captivated audiences around the world, and his move to New York has arguably added an even greater sense of dynamic group interplay. Let's hear the title track, First Light.
Thank you.
Pianist Andrew McCormack with First Light, taken from his new release of the same name. And if you like that, you can hear a special performance by Andrew in the company of regular collaborator, saxophonist Jason Yard, and the Elysian Quartet on next week's Jazz Lineup. Well, next up, our monthly feature, Now's the Time, where Kevin Legendre reassesses a classic recording of recent times. Well, Kevin, you've chosen Chico Freeman's Tradition in Transition. Give us a bit of background, Chico, and what's so special about this recording?
Well, what's so special about this recording is that it really is in that time-honoured tradition of the small group, which could be a quartet or a quintet. Interestingly, he mixes both. He has like a collective personnel and he uses them sometimes in just a quartet, other times in a quintet. And you really get a sense of this very, very focused group, really great rhythm section, which features this rock-solid bass player, Cecil McBee, a real legend, who played with the likes of Lonnie Liston Smith, Billy Hart on drums, who needs no introduction, Jack DeJohnette also on drums and also playing piano, interestingly, on a couple of the tracks.
Wow.
And then this really wild card, a musician who's not well known at all, a pianist called Clyde Kreiner, who played with Chico Freeman, and then what happened after that, I don't know. He sounds majestic on this record. But I think the ace in the hole, the star feature apart from Chico on this record, is this young trumpet prodigy called Wallace Roney, who we forget was big news in the 80s, because a bit like Wynton, who Chico also played with a lot, Wynton Marsalis, that is, he arrived and he was sensational, and he was presented as the kind of heir to Miles Davis, I suppose, along with Wynton to a certain extent, and he sounds absolutely fabulous in this group with Chico Freeman.
Brilliant. Well, let's start off with something really up-tempo, give us a real flavour of this album, and this is called Each One, Teach One.
We'll be right back.
Each One, Teach One from the album Tradition in Transition. And Kevin DeJohn, we're talking about, that's big, muscly music, isn't it?
Yeah, Cecil McBee's bass just holding everything up. And if you think about the structure, the way that they've got that apparently simple, propulsive, two-note kind of intro, just Cecil McBee playing those two notes with the two piano chords, that sort of drone that they've got. And the way that the horns almost have these drum-like patterns, twos, fours, and then there's a nine-note line, which is a bit more expansive towards the end. So it's like these little flashes that are coming at you. So it creates all of this tension. And then there's that huge release when they go into the swing section. And as you say, the sheer power of the sound, the power of the bass, and the way that the horns are playing in a really, really sharp, really
meaty,
emphatic way.
Meaty, meaty. Did Chico write that?
That's a Chico original, yeah.
So this came out in the early 80s. Let's talk about what was going on then and, you know, where we were at, what was going on.
Well, 1982, I suppose the big story of the day was the resurgence of acoustic jazz with Wynton Marsalis and the Young Lions. And Chico Freeman played with Wynton quite a lot. I mean, his pedigree is pretty incredible. He's the son of Von Freeman, this great Chicago saxophonist. And he played with people like McCoy Tyner when he was coming up. But he goes a long way back, and in the 70s, he recorded a string of really beautiful albums for this independent label called India Navigation. And I suppose in a nutshell, he's always been somebody who is... He's got one foot in the avant-garde, inverted commas. Mm. He was a member of the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians. He played a lot okay. with Mahal Richard Abrahams as well, a very experimental musician. Yet at the same time, his other foot was in the kind of post-bop swing camp yeah. as well. And I think what you have on this album, the reason why it's so good, is that both of those strands are entwined. It's almost like traditions in collision as well as tradition in transition.
He's a very smart guy. He's a maths major, the father being influential in going into music. But he also, I think, did pop gigs because... I mean, real pop. He played with Michael Jackson, The Eurythmics.
Played a lot of R&B as well.
Yeah, a lot of R&B. So he's really got a lot of fingers in lots
Very
of pies,
diverse,
hasn't he?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the next track and what he's going to play, because he does play different instruments on each of these tracks. This next one you're going to play us is My Story. Let's talk about that.
It's the other side, really. As much as Each One, Teach One is muscular and powerful, My Story is really meditative. It shows the sensitivity of Chico Freeman, one of the great records that he recorded before this. I mentioned that he was with the India Navigation label, was Spirit Sensitive, which really shows what a great ballad player he is. And I think one thing that this album does really well is present him as somebody who can play very haunting, very lyrical music with a quartet. Mm. As well as the quintet. So we hear on this track Chico Freeman without Wallace Roney, without that other frontline horn player, and you just hear how incredibly expressive he is and how beautiful the melody is of this tune.
Mystery, or is it My Story from Tradition in Transition, Chico Freeman? Is it Mystery?
I think what he's doing, because he's actually written it as MYS hyphen story, is he's mixing My Story and Mystery. Because as you can tell by the whole mood of the piece, it's very haunting and mysterious. So I think that's the implication.
So let's talk a bit more about the album. Did it do well? Was it a big splash? Was it?
I think this certainly did put his name back in the spotlight, as it were, because it's just got this fabulous mixture, as we were saying before, of experienced and younger personnel. The writing is really good. I think the critical reception was good.
Kevin, this record did get a lot of critical acclaim, and they compare him to one of the great jazz legendary figures. What's he up to now?
Well, he had another group called Brainstorm, which I suppose was more electric fusion than jazz, and that did pretty well. And he also recorded quite a lot of Latin music as well. I think the last album of his that I heard was about 10 years ago, and it's a gorgeous Latin album with the pianist Hilton Ruiz. So, as you said before, he had his fingers in a lot of different pies and he went into lots of different areas.
Remember seeing him a lot at Ronnie Scott's headlining during the 80s.
He was a kind of regular feature at Ronnie's at that time.
Yeah, would be a terrific young band, I guess, in the 80s. But what about in the UK of late?
So exactly what he's doing now in terms of his recording, I don't know. But this album has just been reissued by Atlantic, so it's definitely something which is around for anybody who's interested. And the other thing to say as well, which I think is very important, is that the Electro Musician label had great production values. One thing about this record, and I bought the vinyl in the 80s, even then it had a great sound. Mm. It's really, really well engineered. And I think this is probably the first time, and now's the time, that we're going to name check an engineer. But we should name check David Baker, who engineered this record. The sound is really, really gorgeous, particularly the way that Cecil McBee's bass has been recorded. As we said earlier, it's so important to the group sound. So this is one of the great, I think, excellent jazz engineering jobs, which should be hailed as well.
Brilliant. I've read that he's very much involved in education. He's written for film and he's actually been doing some acting as well. So
Renaissance man.
He really, really is. Well, let's go to the last track from this album, Tradition in Transition. And this sees him in another light because he's a multi-instrumentalist and he's playing flute on this.
Yeah, and the flute playing here is absolutely beautiful. It has this very, very haunting quality. He's got an unusual way of writing melodies and writing changes and structuring his compositions. So they go off at tangents that you don't really expect. Mm. We certainly heard that in My Story and you hear it again on this track.
So let's hear In Spirit. And lastly, why do you think he's called it Tradition in Transition then? If you don't think that he was trying to sort of, was he trying to push the boundaries to sort of move the mainstream of jazz forward a bit? Is that what that title means?
I think it's about recognising that there is a tradition, or more to the point, traditions in jazz, that there are lots of different ways of playing the music and lots of statements that have been made in the past, and that those statements and those approaches can evolve. And this is about the evolution of the music.
Cool. Let's hear In Spirit.
Thank you.
Chico Freeman with In Spirit, taken from the album Tradition in Transition, which was our featured record for this week's Now's the Time. So, Kevin, how would you summarise that record? What's its appeal?
Well, when I first heard it way back when, I was really, really impressed just by the shifting moods, the way that it changes constantly. The writing's really sophisticated, as we heard in that tune and on the previous tunes as well. There are a lot of changes and a lot of unusual changes. Harmonically, he's very expressive, very, I think, forward-thinking in the way that he would just take you from one section to another. But the other thing as well is just the sheer quality of the sounds, and the fact that on some of the pieces they don't play that much. There's actually a lot of space around those themes, and his solos are very, very well constructed and well paced. And I think that's it. It's an album which is really rich, but it's not dense.
So we hope that it'll have a new life and new fans, and perhaps he'll even come and grace our shores and enjoy touring again. Maybe
I hope so, because
like to see him play all that.
As we can hear, the music's really stood the test of time.
Well, thanks to Kevin and Jean for sharing the music from that recording. Definitely, it was an important disc to revisit. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Jazz Line Up on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, let's go to the music of one of the most internationally successful Brazilian artists of all time. Producer, composer, keyboardist and vocalist Sergio Mendes, who's clocked up more than 55 releases and 3 Grammys during his highly acclaimed career. His new release, Magic, features collaborations with a host of friends and special guests of both legendary and newcomer status. Milton Nascimento and John Legend both feature, as does Brazilian singer, songwriter and producer Carlinhos Brown. But I think this track, Simbora, which ends the CD, has Summer Anthem written all over it.
Simbora, 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 Simbora.
Sergio Mendes with Simbora, taken from his new release called Magic, which is out now on the Sony Music label. And that infectious groove and spirit reinforcing why we all love his music so much. Well, it's time now for tonight's concert set, and this week it's guitar ace John Scofield with his Uber Jam Band. A masterful improviser whose music falls somewhere between post-bop, funk-edge jazz and R&B. Born in Ohio and raised in suburban Connecticut, Scofield took up the guitar at age 11, inspired by both rock and blues players. From 1982 to 1985, Scofield toured and recorded with the legendary Miles Davis. His Davis stint placed him firmly in the foreground of jazz consciousness as a player and composer. But for tonight's set, Avi Bortnick has the rhythm guitar duties as well as loops and samples. Andy Hess is playing the bass. Louis Cato is on the drums and leading the band, John Scofield on guitar. The concert was recorded on the 12th of November 2013 at the Jazz Dock Club in Prague. And they kick off with John's composition, Boogie Stupid. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Boogie's stupid. Wow. All right.
Thank you.
Al Green song.
John Scofield's Uber Jam Band with Scofield's composition Endless Summer, ending tonight's concert set, recorded at the Jazz Dot Club in Prague, and featured Avi Bortnik on rhythm guitar, samples and loops, Andy Hess on bass, and Lewis Cato on drums. And that set was brought to you courtesy of the European Broadcasting Union. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. We're next to something that's been re-released as part of a mammoth Atlantic box set, which includes 20 CDs. It's a terrific reissue called Atlantic Jazz Legends, Various Artists, and it covers music from 1956 to 1973 and really does have a huge stylistic spread that includes Mel Torme, Art Blakey, Freddie Hubbard, Joe Zawinul and John Coltrane, whose masterpiece Giant Steps is included. One of my absolute favourite singers and a huge influence on me is also part of this treasure trove. It's singer Chris Connor, who I think is the epitome of how a jazz singer should sound, with a rich, full tone and a wonderful diction and phrasing. Her Atlantic recordings were always polished productions, and she worked with some of the best producers, arrangers and musicians in the jazz field. Let's hear her wonderful version of Billy Strayhorn's Something to Live For.
I want something to live for, someone to make an adventurous dream. Wouldn't I give for someone who'd take my life and make it seem, as they say it ought to be. Oh, why can't I have love like that brought to me? My eye is watching the noon crowd, searching the promenades, seeking a clue. To the one who will someday be my something to live for. Why can't I have something to
Well, if you've never heard of Chris Connor before, and that could be true for many of you, as she never really had a big UK profile, I hope that track has inspired you to find out more about her. And that was Chris singing Something to Live For by Billy Strayhorn. Well, that's nearly it for Jazz Lineup this week, but there's plenty more jazz on BBC with Jeffrey Smith's Jazz Tonight at midnight and Jez Nelson on Monday night at 11. This week, Jez has a special BBC introducing show from the Manchester Jazz Festival. And on next week's Jazz Lineup, concert music recorded at this year's Amser Jazz Time Festival in Cardiff, featuring pianist Andrew McCormack and saxophonist Jason Yard with the Elysian Quartet. But to finish off tonight, here's some hard bop brought to you by trumpeters Steve Fishwick and Ossian Roberts, who went to New York in 2007 and met the saxophonist Frank Bazile. He came over to the UK last year for an 8-date tour, during which the newly released CD When Night Falls was recorded. With Albert Sands on piano, Dave Whitford on bass, Matt Fishwick on drums, let's hear Apprehend the Fifth Dwarf from me, Claire Martin. Until next time, bye-bye. We'll be right back.
That was Apprehend, the Fifth Dwarf, performed by Steve Fishwick and Oshin Roberts on trumpets, with Frank Bazile, sax, Albert Sands, piano, Dave Whitford, bass, and Matt Fishwick on drums. And it ends this week's Jazz Lineup. The programme was produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade. And for more information on Jazz Lineup, just go to the programme page via the Radio 3 website.
Don't miss a thing this summer with BBC Digital Radio.
Where we have Rugby Super League for you on BBC Radio 5 Live Sports Extra. The talking point today was that fabulous throw.
Back to a golden age of classic comedy on BBC Radio 4 Extra. And of course it includes the famous line...
Up at the BBC Proms this year, simply wonderful. And you'll hear every prom live on BBC Radio 3.
If you love radio, go digital. To find out more, search online for BBC Digital Radio.
Well, it's 7:40, just gone, and 8 o'clock tonight, we're live at London's Royal Albert Hall for tonight's prom, a performance of Bach's St John Passion, conducted by Sir Roger Norrington. And the advertised Proms Plus intro to the St John Passion you may be expecting to hear right now has in fact been moved on just under an hour to become the interval of tonight's prom. Sir Roger Norrington himself has requested an interval. That interval expected shortly after 8:30. In the meantime, a chance to hear the British pianist Benjamin Grosvenor in music by Chopin and Gershwin. A lot can happen in a few years. In 2010, Benjamin Grosvenor became the youngest soloist ever to open the BBC Proms. A little after that, the youngest pianist ever to be signed by Decca, and youngest artist to achieve a double award win at the Gramophone Awards, the awards known as the Oscars of classical music. That same October, he pushed Sir Simon Rattle into second place, winning the Critics Award at the Classical Brits. Well, he's now 22 and making two appearances at this year's proms. More on those a little later on. First, an example of his playing in recordings made specially for Radio 3 in the autumn of 2010, at the start of Benjamin's time as a Radio 3 new generation artist. Here he is, first of all, in Chopin's Etude in E, Opus 10, Number 3, sometimes called Tristesse, Sadness, or Farewell, L'Adieu, though neither of those names came from Chopin himself.
Chopin's Etude in E, Opus 10, Number 3, played there by Benjamin Grosvenor, who, as I say, is appearing at two different proms this season, in the first of them performing Chopin's first piano concerto, that's on the 8th of August, and on the 1st of September, Benjamin Grosvenor is at the prom's Chamber Music Lunchtime Concert at Cadogan Hall, a programme including the premiere of Judith Weir's exciting new commission, Daybreak Shadows Flee, written specially for Benjamin. For the moment, Grosvenor in Gershwin. The title of Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue was actually his brother Ira's idea. No swooping clarinet to open here, though. Benjamin Grosvenor's playing Gershwin's own arrangement for piano solo. George Gershwin's own arrangement for solo piano of Rhapsody in Blue, a BBC recording made in 2010 when the pianist there, Benjamin Grosvenor, was a Radio 3 New Generation artist. You're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's 8 o'clock. Time now to go live to the Royal Albert Hall for this evening's prom. It's presented by Sarah Moore-Peach.
Thank you, Jonathan. The stage is set for high drama tonight at the Albert Hall as the Zurich Chamber Orchestra make their way on stage. One of the most compelling stories ever told, The Passion of Christ according to St John, and set to music by Bach and performed perhaps as you've never heard it before. Sir Roger Norrington has spent his career undoing orthodoxy, challenging performance traditions. 6 years ago, he practically caused a riot here at the Proms, conducting Elgar with no vibrato. And tonight he takes his feather duster to Bach's St John Passion, a piece he hasn't conducted for 15 years, taking some of the speeds or tempi much, much faster than people are used to. It's all part of his reading of a work that's normally played as poignant and tragic.
It's incredibly positive. And St John keeps on saying, you know, this was preordained, this was prophesied, and this is how it had to be, and it's wonderful for us, although it's terrible for him. There aren't any really slow tempi at all in the piece. It all moves forward, and that fits in with the kind of positive notion that I have of the piece. There aren't any long, lingering tempi in Bach any more than there are in Mozart and Haydn. People wouldn't put up with it.
Sir Roger Norrington. So how did tonight's musicians feel about working with him on this approach?
When you look at him, you will see that he's just making music every single second.
It's very, very fresh and very, very pacey, really.
It's kind of stripped down and bare. There's not a lot of extra trilling, not a lot of appoggiatura. It's very organic and very sort of down to basics.
It's very good to have to work on a piece and to have to do things in a completely other way from what you're expecting.
The last voice we heard there was of James Gilchrist singing The Evangelist tonight, who's making his way on stage with the other soloists, Neil Davis and Lucy Crowe, Clint van der Linde, Joshua Ellicott and Sir Roger Norrington, who takes his seat in front of the Zurich Chamber Orchestra and Zing Academy for the first part of Bach's St John Passion, opening with the chorus calling to Jesus to show us his passion.